before we do the scripture reading, I want to read this to you, and then once I get done, we'll just take a minute. Anytime I get where we can pledge allegiance to our flag, I get excited about that, so I'm going to take time to do that here in just a second. But I wanted to read this to you first. Let's think about this. We're 5 years away from 250 years since the Declaration of Independence was written. And I wanted to read this to you. This is from July 5th, 1926. This was a speech given in Philadelphia for the 150th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And one of my favorite presidents, President Calvin Coolidge, gave this speech. And this is just a small part of it. I want you to listen to what he said here. And it applies, even though this is almost 100 years ago, still applies today even more so than then. And so in his speech, he reminded Americans that in its main features, the Declaration of Independence is a great spiritual document. Here's what he said. Our forefathers came to certain conclusions and decided upon certain courses of action, which have been a great blessing to the world. They were a people who came under the influence of a great spiritual development and acquired a great moral power. No other theory is adequate to explain or comprehend the Declaration of Independence. It is a product of the spiritual insight of the people. We live in an age of science and of abounding accumulation of material things. These did not create our Declaration. Our Declaration created them. The things of the Spirit come first. Unless we cling to that, all our material prosperity, overwhelming though it may appear, will turn to a barren scepter in our grasp. If we are to maintain the great heritage which has been bequeathed to us, we must be like-minded as the fathers who created it. We must not sink into a pagan materialism. We must cultivate the reverence which they had for the things that are holy. We must follow the spiritual and moral leadership which they showed. We must keep replenished that they may glow with a more compelling flame, the altar fires before which they worshiped. I tell you, that's something we have to keep going today. Because if we don't keep what's spiritual and what's right and what's holy at the forefront, then we aren't any different than other countries. And that's what was given to us, again, the Declaration of Independence, a great spiritual document. And so let's do this. Let's stand, everybody face the American flag, and let's pledge to our flag together. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good. Y'all can have a seat. We'll be doing more outside today, do some more singing and sing our national anthem and those type of things. But I just want to take a minute this morning in here and do that. And then Brother Jason's going to come and read scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. Man, I tell you, you can't come in here or go around the grounds and see what a great job that the decorations and the flags, man, I tell you, it's just a good time to reflect on a great country that God has given us. And we're beyond blessed to be here. And we thank Almighty God for that. And so we, again, just glad to be in the house on Independence Day. Joshua chapter 22, we'll read verse 18. But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this place. And Lord God, for the people that have assembled here today, Lord, and the freedom to assemble. And Lord, I thank you for, as Brother Clark said, the greatest country on earth. And Lord, just Lord, no other place, Lord God, even with its faults and with its struggles, Lord God, what a wonderful, wonderful place. And Lord, I just pray we don't take it for granted. And Lord, as if you do any reading back in the times, Lord, we know that there were struggles back in the 1770s. There were struggles in the 1870s. There have been struggles in America, and Lord, we just, what we ask, Lord, in all of those cases, Lord, I believe that we've made it right and come back to what we needed to do. And Lord God, I believe it's another time now, Lord God, for us as Christians to stand up and repel back those forces of the devil, Lord, that are attacking us from the inside, Lord God. And I just pray that your hand would be upon us as Christians. We know the truth. We know what's right. And Lord, I just pray that that each and every one in this community, Lord, I was able to stop last night and talk to somebody that lives near here. Lord God, Lord, I pray that each of us would go and let them know, Lord, that this place, this church here, is a place of rest. It's a place of refuge from the world. And it's a place where they can come and be encouraged and lifted up with the thoughts of Jesus Christ and what he's done for all of us. And so, Lord, I pray that that's our patriotic duty, Lord God, is to go out and win souls. And, Lord God, fight for this country one soul at a time. And, Lord, I pray that you be with this place, with Gilgrove Baptist Church. Lord, we believe that there are great days ahead. And, Lord, but we know that that takes work, just like it did over the last 200 and some years, Lord God, work to get this country, Lord, a free country, and all the work that was put into it. And, God, it's work for us to do. So, Lord, be with the message this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. I appreciate again all the music this morning, the choir, and then the quartet, and then Mrs. Hayes and Amber with the offertory, and looking forward to more this afternoon. Man, just excited about what God's doing. I meant to mention this at prayer time. I saw Brother Dave Mastina up there and answered prayer Mastina that she made it through this week. Anyway, had a harrowing experience this week. I heard about it, so I was praying and trust in the Lord to take care of you. But then also, I knew you had David. You know, so if anybody's going to get you out of there, David's going to take care of us. Anyway, glad that everything got taken care of there. But, man, had a lot going on this week. And, I was going down. I thought, it just reminded us what a great country that we have. And a lot of times we get discouraged about some things that are going on in America. But, man, God's given us the greatest country in the world. And I was driving down 95 this week, and not that that's a great experience, but I was driving down 95 right before I got hit by a storm. That reminded me of that, right before I ran right into a storm. But I'm driving down, and those of y'all that drive there a lot, you see us all the time. But I thought, you know, where else do you go in the world? I'm looking, and there's a huge billboard that says Jesus is the only way to heaven. You know, that's there. I mean, and that's not the only one. There's others, too, besides the 25 billboards about the casino they're trying to build. But besides that, I thought, you know, we get to see that in our country, and we get to see those things on a regular basis. The heritage, obviously read about that a little bit that we have. And I want to talk this morning, we've been going through the last several weeks, about turning God's wrath away from our country, from our people, from us, for our families and all that. And this morning, this is such a, I love this story in Joshua chapter 22, and such a great illustration, I think, for us. We've gone through several different stories. We started with Phinehas. Phinehas rose up out of the congregation, right? He said, I'm going to do something about it. And he saw sin, and he rose up. And because of that, God said, because of his zeal, then God turned his wrath away from Israel during that time period. And so we had that example. We talked about Daniel. Daniel didn't rise up out of the congregation. Daniel fell down on his knees, right? He got down on his knees before God. He saw the wrath of God upon the nation of Israel, that remnant of Israel. And so he got down on his knees and prayed and asked for God's wrath to be turned away. Moses sort of stepped in the gap, in the breach there, and interceded for the people of Israel. And so he took that leadership role on and said, Lord, he went to God for the people of Israel and asked God to turn his wrath away. And he saw things as God did, and we talked about that. And then last week we talked about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah made a covenant with God. He said, I'm going to turn the wrath of God away. I'm going to make a covenant, a spiritual decision. I hope some of you did that this week. And you started acting on that spiritual decision. He went right away and acted on that spiritual decision. And so all those that to try to turn God's wrath away. Now, I love this story because I think of the church and what we have to look at this morning. And again, this involves the nation of Israel in Joshua chapter 22. But here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to do what we see in this story, and that's this. That's for us as Christians, as a church, to look and try to avoid the wrath of God coming on us in the first place. Hey, that'd be great, wouldn't it? And if we could look ahead, and instead of having to wait until God, that we could look for opportunities to take a stand for God, as they did here. And a wonderful story we have in Joshua chapter 22. And most of you know this story, but I'm going to go back a little bit further than we did. We started there. We read verse 18. So let's go back to verse Go back to verse number 10. Verse number 10. And when they came to the borders of Jordan, their land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. So we have, they finally conquered the land. These two and a half tribes had talked to Moses and said, hey, we want our possessions to be on the other side of Jordan. So we want to go back across Jordan and have our possessions there. So that's what they did. And so God told Moses to go ahead and do that. So Moses gave them that as their possession. So as we get here to Joshua chapter 22, the land for the most part has been conquered. And they agreed to go fight with Israel and fight and conquer. But then when that was done, they go back and be able to, these two and a half tribes have their possession on the other side of Jordan. So they do that. And so we read there in verse 10, they build an altar, a great altar to see to. And then in fact, if you go to the end of the chapter, go to the last verse, verse number 34. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. So you have in verse 10, they build an altar. In verse 34, we're given the name of that altar, easy to remember, altar Ed. And so that Ed there is a witness that the Lord is God. And so that's a pretty simple thing, all right? They built an altar. They named an altar that would glorify God as be a witness for them. So we have verse 10, verse 34. But what happens in between? And what happens in between is what we're going to talk about this morning. So they build an altar. They all glorify God. They're excited about that. But there's something that happens here in between. And we start there in verse number 11. I think so important for us. And we read there in verse 18 that they're so concerned about the wrath of God coming on the congregation. Look at verse number 11. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar over against the land of Canaan and the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel went unto the children of Reuben, children of Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribe of Israel. And each one was ahead of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came with the children of Reuben to the children of Gad, to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead. And they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? So here's what we have. We have these two and a half tribes that build this altar, and we have these other nine and a half tribes. They hear about it. And as soon as they hear about it, the Bible says immediately, they were ready to take up arms and fight against their brothers. You know why? Because they were trying to take a stand for the Lord against sin. You know what we need to do as a church? Take a stand for God against sin. Hey, these nine and a half tribes, I mean, the minute they heard about it, listen, you read those passages, they didn't hate their brothers. They didn't hate those other tribes. In fact, they loved them, but they saw in them, they said, but this looks like they're trying to build an altar outside of the temple, outside of the tabernacle, outside of where they're supposed to worship. And that goes against what God said. And so they saw something that looked wrong, that could be sin, and they said, we got to take a stand against it. Hey, as a church, we have to see that. We have to, and as Christians, we have to look and see, all right, what's out there? We need to take a stand against it. They were willing to. And man, they took their arm. They were ready to fight. You know, I wonder sometimes, how much are we willing to fight for what is right? And how much are we willing to really take a stand? What are we willing to sacrifice for that? And these nine and a half tribes, they said, boy, they heard about it. And they said, we're going to go challenge them. They gathered themselves together. And we read there in verse number 16, they confronted their brethren. And they came and they said, boy, what is this? Are you trying to rebel against God? Are you trying to be in rebellion against what the Word of God has told us to do? We know what we're supposed to do. And they took a stand for the Lord against sin. You know, one of the ways we can keep God's wrath away is to take a stand before the sin takes place, right? Before we see something. Before it becomes in place, when we see it going to happen, take a stand against those things. And so they were willing to do that. They stood for the Lord against sin. Well, in order for us to do that, we have to know what it is. This is the second thing they did. We have to know what it is that brings the wrath of God, right? I think there's some churches, some Christians, who don't even understand what brings God's wrath upon us. who don't even see, as we talked about with Moses a few weeks ago, who don't even see sin as God sees it. And don't understand what it really is. I'm amazed sometimes at the lack of perception of Christians and those that claim to be Christians and the things that they'll do, whether they, you know, they'll engage in the you know what's happened? I just mentioned the casino things. You remember when it was a big deal about the lottery? And now we just sort of accept, hey, well, hey, how about taking a stand against those things, right? And unfortunately, we have Christians that have played the lottery. We have those who claim to be saved who engage in these activities we want to take a stand against those things. Man, don't get complacent when it comes to the things of God. Know what brings the judgment of God. And I like this part. Look at verse number 17. They remembered what God had judged in the past. Hey, we better understand what God has judged the past. By the way, that's why we go to the Word of God. That's why we read the Bible. To see, all right, here's what God has judged in the past. Hey, we know what He destroyed different nations for. We know what's happened. So we better learn from those things. And so look what the nation of Israel does. These 9.5 tribes. We'll go to a couple things they mentioned. Verse number 17. Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? Although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, they actually refer back to what we talked about with Phinehas. We talked about the story of Phinehas several weeks ago. And they refer back to that at Peor there where Baal was brought in. And the Bible says, hey, in verse 17, it said, from which we are not cleansed even unto this day. They said, we're still having trouble with this. Hey, don't forget how they brought these false gods in. They said, we don't want this altar built where we would use that to worship false gods or use that in the wrong way. They said, we saw what God did. We saw God's judgment when we did this before. We need to remember. It said, look at the iniquity, verse number 17, the iniquity of Peor, that sin that was there, that plague that came from God. And so if we're going to take a stand for God against sin, we must remember what God has judged before and what He's done before. And so they remember that. They said that iniquity of Peor. And by the way, interesting, again, the leader here in this is Phinehas himself, who is now priest. And so that's the first thing. Then look at the other thing, verse number 20. They go to something else. They remember something else, which was even more recent for them. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing? And wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? They said, don't you remember what happened in Peor? And they said, don't you remember the trespass of Achan? How God's wrath fell on the whole congregation? Hey, they said, understand this, when Achan sinned, it wasn't just him alone. That affected the whole country. You know, they went into battle after that, and because of Achan's sin, they lost a battle. 36 men were killed because of Achan's sin. Hey, Achan's family was then destroyed because of Achan's sin didn't just affect him alone. And so they said, listen, the judgment of God came. Hey, you 2.5 tribes, maybe you think you're just doing that for yourself, but you're going to affect all of us. Hey, understand that our sin affects other people. And Achan's sin brought the wrath of God upon that congregation, upon that people. And so these people, they remembered. They remembered what had happened to them in the past. And they said, man, we don't want that to happen again. We don't want to see the judgment of God like that again. By the way, that should be our desire. We don't want to see God. We want to make sure we're living right and doing right. And as we see something, we're going to take a stand for it. And then this is what is great to me also about this story, because you see the spirit of the people. And by the way, this is the way our spirit should be as Christians. These tribes, as they're working together, these 2.5 tribes respond. And look at verse number 21. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and sent it to the heads of the thousands of Israel, those that had come to meet them. The Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, He knoweth. And Israel, He shall know if it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord. Save us not this day that we have built an altar to turn from following the Lord, if to offer thereon burnt offering or meat offering, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord Himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, you children of Reuben, children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make your children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifice, but that may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us. So what happens here? The accused, these 2.5 tribes, they don't get offended. Because you know what they understand? They understand these other tribes are taking those things, as we read before, those things that are holy and right, and they want to hold on to those things. They don't want to let those things go. They don't want the holiness to be gone. And so they understand the spirit that they're coming with. And so these 2.5 tribes, they don't get offended at all. In fact, they tell them, they said in verse number 21 and 22, they said, hey, if this is what we're doing, then you should destroy us. Hey, don't save us if this is what we're doing. But they said, God knows our heart. God knows our heart, and we're not building this altar to worship false gods. We're not building this altar to worship in a different place than God said to. We built this altar as a witness, not for worship at all. It's a witness that we can see, and so our children can see, and the next generation can see, hey, this we are part of the same people. Hey, we believe the same thing. We're under the same God. And so we said we put that there for that purpose, not in any way at all trying to sacrifice to a false god, trying to bring something in that God wouldn't want us to do. It's for our children, for the next generation, for them to see that altar as a witness. And so you have these 2.5 tribes who understand the spirit of those who are trying to... Hey, let me tell you something. Sometimes when you stand for what's right, somebody might get offended. But tell you what, if we're doing it with the right spirit and the right heart, and our goal is to please God, not to please me. And these 9.5 tribes, listen, they didn't want to offend the other tribes, these 2.5 tribes, but they knew this: we're going to take a stand for God first. Then we'll let man explain it. That's fine. But we're not going to go, and this is what happens in Marla, we'll go explain to God why we did what we did. No, they said, we're not explaining anything to God. We're going to take a stand for what God said. And then we can work that out with man. And so that they were able to work that out together, and they got together on that, and this is what we want to make sure we're doing. Look at verse number 30. Well, look at verse 29, and you see the spirit here of these 2.5 tribes. Verse 29, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that's before his tabernacle. They said, God forbid we would do that. We wouldn't do that. We're not going to do that. We're on the same page together. And look at verse 30. And when Phinehas the priest and the princes of the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, the princes returned from the children of Reuben, from the children of Gad, out of the hand of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again, and the thing pleased the children of Israel. You know what? They were excited and glad that the Lord was among them. These 9.5 tribes, they weren't looking to destroy the other 2.5 tribes. That wasn't their desire. You know, sometimes, well, I'm going to take a stand, and all we want to do is hurt somebody. They don't want to hurt anybody. But what they were going to do, they weren't going to let anything keep them from taking a stand for what God said to do. They didn't have any desire to see these 2.5 tribes doing what they thought they were doing. And the Bible says they were pleased. Man, they were excited. They were thrilled when they found out. And Phinehas said, hey, now we know that God is among us. We understand what you're doing. We're so excited that no trespasses. You know what I love for our country? I love for our country to pass laws and to do things that all agree with what God says. Be great. I mean, well, that's what we're trying. That's what we're not, man, our desire is not to destroy our, as you look around at those that are against God and they want to destroy our country. Their desire isn't to make our country better. No, it's to destroy it. That's what they're trying to do. And that's not our desire as Christians. We're not trying to cause problems and to disrupt everything. No, but we do want to take a stand for God. And so we want to take a stand for God, and we're pleased when we see that the Lord is among us. And so they were excited that they didn't have to go up to battle. Verse number 33, these things pleased the children of the Lord, and the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle or to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. They didn't have any desire to do that. They were pleased not to have to go to battle. In verse 34, and the children of Reuben
And the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it should be a witness between us that the Lord is God. They came together as one and said, the Lord is our God. Let me ask you this morning, are we willing to take a stand to avoid God's wrath? Go back to verse number where we started there, verse number 18. But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he'll be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. I can tell you this, they were right. We rebel today against God, tomorrow his wrath is coming. So what do we have to do? We have to take a stand today. And we have to take a stand for what's right. And I'm so glad, as we see in this passage, that you don't have a group of compromising people. Well, we're just going to see what happens. No, they said, we want to get it taken care of now. Hey, we're going to take a stand for what's right now. And you know what this country needs? It needs a group of people that say, we're going to take a stand right now. Hey, for what's right, what's according to God's word, we're going to stand on that. We're thankful for the freedoms we have. And we hope that others agree with that, and we hope they come under, and we hope they follow what God says. But no matter what, we're going to do what God says. You know why? Because I don't want God's wrath upon this place. Father, I pray that you'd help us to avoid your wrath. Lord, as we see this great example of the children of Israel and their desire, Lord, such a great desire, and Lord, they wanted to make sure that there was no way that they would do something to bring the wrath of God upon them. Lord, and they remembered what had happened before. Lord, it's a different generation. This was a new generation. And they had seen the sins of the past and the sins of their fathers. And Lord, they had seen the sins of some of those around them. And they saw the judgment of God, Lord, and they didn't want the judgment of God on them. Lord, I pray in our hearts, Lord, in our lives, we want to avoid your judgment. Lord, help us look this morning, make sure we're doing right, make sure we're taking a stand in our homes and at our job for those things that are right. And Lord, we do get excited and pleased when we see others doing the same thing. But whether or not they do, Lord, help us not to change our stand for you. Lord, again, I pray there's someone here that's not saved this morning. You turn their heart to you. In your name we pray. Amen. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around this morning, not really a salvation message, but listen, I hope you're saved this morning. I hope you've trusted Christ as your Savior. If you could say this morning, I know I'm on my way to heaven, not because I'm an American, but because I'm a Christian. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. If you can say this, put your hand up like I'm going to say, I know I'm saved this morning. Great, you can put your hands down. What a great thing on Independence Day to know you're going to heaven. The freedom we have in our country, but the freedom we have through Christ. If you're here this morning, say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I don't know for sure if I was to die today. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. If you're like that at all, I want to pray for you. You say, Lord, just pray for me. Pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Anybody at all, just put your hand up and say, I'm just not sure. How willing are we to take a stand? Hey, take a stand for what's right. Yeah, but somebody might take that the wrong way. Listen, our responsibility is to stand for what God said to do, to please God, and to do what's right, and to avoid the wrath of God in our own lives, in our family's lives, in our country, because we will take a stand for those things that are right. As the Lord spoke to you this morning, as the music plays, you come forward.
that. And we're going to do this. We're going to dismiss. And obviously, some of you are be leaving. That's fine. If you're staying for the food, then we'll get that cooked up for you, ready to go. So you can hang out. We'll be eating in the gym. We'll have some stuff out here. As I mentioned, go by and see Zeb's display over there. And then those teens and counselors, don't forget to get the papers from me if you haven't gotten those yet. And, you know, can we do this? I have to check on this. Those that are singing in our big group, all right, a big group later, if y'all can hang around, we might need to practice one more time, all right? So if y'all can hang around for a few minutes, and we'll try to do that one time once we get our piano player over here. Let's do this. Let's close. Instead of close prayer, let's do, we can do this a cappella, Ms. Hayes, I think. So we'll see how it goes, how my voice says. Let's do God Bless America together. Ready? God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Amen. Good, y'all dismissed.